Hi, welcome to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm your host, Tom Nielsen. Back in the 1960s, when John F. Kennedy became president, an otherwise unknown comedian named Vaughn Meader broke new ground with a comedy album called The First Family. It was an immediate hit. In those pre-internet days, in fact, you could legitimately say it went viral.
Well, after 2 years of brushing with the Crest toothpaste, our group had 21% fewer cavities with Crest.
Well, Meader didn't know it at the time, but he helped set the stage for a whole new generation of comedy that relied on impersonation. Following in his footsteps were Dana Carvey, Frank Gorshin, David Fry, Alec Baldwin, and, of course, Rich Little.
This is Richard. How I love to be president next year. I want to tell you, you know, my fellow Americans, I just got back from Hollywood where I was working on a new motion picture. It's called Planet of the Tapes.
But presidents weren't the only people being imitated. And that's what today's story is all about, my friends. We're going to take a quick trip down memory lane and share some tales of other impersonators I've come across in my travels. Back in the 1970s in Syracuse, New York, there was a guy named Steve Forrest who did a really good impression of Groucho Marx. He would appear at fundraising events and other venues and use his Groucho jokes and insults in a very funny, interactive, and entertaining way, sometimes combining regular game show stunts into his Groucho act. He had a real gift for engaging the audience in this way, doing Let's Make a Deal shtick alongside Marx Brothers gags.
Why don't you bore a hole in yourself and let the sap run out?
We'll get more into Groucho in just a minute, but first let's tackle another impersonator. If you've ever been to Las Vegas, you know there are impersonators galore in that glittery, star-studded entertainment capital. On one trip there, I saw a musical review at the Sands Casino that featured an incredibly funny takeoff on the Snow White legend. An up-and-coming musical comedy actress who was a dead ringer for the Disney cartoon image we all grew up with, sang and joked her way through a whole show filled with gags about show business, Las Vegas, the Seven Dwarves, you name it. After all these years, of course, I don't remember anymore what the name of the production was. It could have been Snow White Does Vegas. But I do recall laughing all the way through the show, from start to finish. Snow White was a pretty good singer, too. She even did a spot-on performance of Tina Turner's version of Proud Mary. And you know, the ultimate fate of that show was also lost in the memory banks. It could have been a very short run for all I know, because knowing the Disney organization, it probably suffered a very quick demise once Disney got wind of it and shut them down.
Huh?
But that's showbiz. Another thing that Las Vegas is famous for is Elvis Presley impersonators. And they come in all shapes, sizes, and flavors. Big and small, wide and narrow, light and dark. There are so many of them running around town, in fact, that you're just as likely to encounter one in a 7-Eleven store as in a headliner act on the Strip. They're all over, I tell you. They'll officiate your wedding, parachute out of planes, and probably give you a pedicure and manicure, too, all while serenading you with classic Elvis hits.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Now that, of course, was the real Elvis. Although these days, it's still absolutely amazing that people are still claiming to see an 86-year-old Elvis out there, live and in the flesh, often in strange places like Turkey Scratch, Arkansas, or Bug Tussle, Kentucky. Some people even see images of Elvis on their French toast. The legend never dies, friends, and all the folks on social media are very quick to post the latest post-mortem sighting of the king. Even as unbelievable and insane as these reports might be. Sometimes, of course, there are even folks out there who will tell you that Elvis was abducted by space aliens and brought back to Earth to stage a dramatic second coming. Now that's where fiction crosses over the line into religion. And the cult of the return of Elvis sends out missionaries to convert the unbelievers. It also explains a great deal of the interest in UFOs and aliens. Especially those folks who are clamoring to open up the top-secret Area 51 in Nevada and search for Elvis. or at the very least, his alien abductors.
We have Elvis in our custody, and he will assist us in taking over your world.
Now, speaking of aliens, another celebrity who's often imitated, especially among science fiction fans, Star Trek groupies in particular, is the late, great Leonard Nimoy. Although Nimoy passed away only 6 years ago in 2015, sightings of his character, Mr. Spock, have continued, especially at Comic-Con conventions around the country. I myself actually spotted a Mr. Spock lookalike once in Providence, Rhode Island, outside of the convention center where one of those comic book conventions was being held. He was a dead ringer, no pun intended, for the real Leonard Nimoy. Pointy ears, weird haircut, and all.
Wow.
I couldn't help but stare at him for a whole 10 minutes or so, marveling at the incredible resemblance.
The most illogical reaction.
It's almost like somebody had beamed down the real Spock from the Starship Enterprise. To make a long story short, I snapped a picture of him from across the parking lot, and if you look very closely at the photograph, I swear you'll think he's a genuine article. I kid you not. Now let's get back to the subject of Groucho impersonators. Remember what I said earlier about Elvis imitators coming in all shapes and sizes? Well, that also applies to Groucho imitators. And back in Syracuse, only 1 year after Groucho left the building, another Groucho stepped up to take his place. But this was an impersonator with a difference. It was a female Groucho. And compared to the long and lanky male Groucho of the year before, this young woman was short and stocky, and a little shy and not so confident as well. This is probably due to the fact that this was her first time stepping into this role. Plus, she didn't come with all the gags and bag of tricks that the other one had. No let's make a deal, no Price is Right gimmicks. Just some stand-up comedy loosely based on the original Groucho Marx. Unfortunately, the world wasn't quite ready for a female Groucho. At least not this one. And so she had a very tough audience to please. When she first walked out onto the stage, she was greeted with an awkward, paralyzing moment of dead silence. And then she started speaking.
I once shot an elephant in my pajamas. How we got there, I'll never know.
And the entire audience, which for years and years had been well conditioned by both the original Marx Brothers as well as the Groucho impersonator of only 1 year ago, reacted in a most unexpected manner. There were a few polite giggles, several snickers and snorts, maybe even a self-conscious muffled laugh or two, but a whole lot of embarrassing pregnant pauses when the punchlines didn't connect at all. I have never seen a performer trying so hard and working up such a sweat in a fruitless attempt to save the show. Of course, this audience wasn't really there for the Groucho impersonator. They were there to see the Marx Brothers movie, which immediately followed the stand-up comedy act. So they were rather well-behaved and didn't make a very big stink about it. They just sat back in their seats, patiently awaiting the end of the warm-up, knowing full well that the movie would start any minute now. It could have been much worse, believe me. They could have taken a page from Rocky Horror Picture Show and started tossing tomatoes, rotten fruit, and pieces of toast at the stage.
Ooh.
So let this little incident be a lesson to all. If you want to break new ground in stand-up comedy, or impersonations for that matter, you better be darn sure that the world is ready for you, and that you are ready for the world. Practice, practice, practice until you've honed your art to the height of excellence. Or at least to the top of your own game, so you don't get the gong on your first time out. You've been listening to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm Tom Nielsen. See you next time. Hi, this is Tom Nielsen. If you enjoyed this podcast, you're invited to hear more of our episodes at A Look Behind and Rewind. And feel free to share our link with friends, family, and others, as well as following us on Buzzsprout.com, Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts.